This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
Here's your money briefing for Thursday, October 20th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Inflation is nearly 3 percentage points higher than where it was a year ago, but your paycheck may be about to catch a break. Inflation will trigger significant changes to the nation's tax laws that are likely to keep more money in your pocket.
Inflation has been high relative to history, and so the idea is to not have people have their taxes go up solely because of inflation.
But there are some pitfalls to watch out for, too. Coming up, we'll run the numbers with our tax reporter, Richard Rubin. He'll tell us which areas of your finances are likely to get a little more breathing room. That's after the break.
This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
High inflation is triggering some pretty big changes to tax laws. This week, the IRS bumped up the nation's tax brackets by 7%, potentially putting a little extra money in your pocket. And there are plenty of other tax changes due to inflation that could affect your finances as well. WSJ reporter Richard Rubin is our go-to resource for understanding tax laws and policies and how they affect our wallets. And he joins me now. Rich, thanks very much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Rich, there are a lot of moving parts here, so help us understand it. Why do some areas of tax laws fluctuate with the inflation rate?
Well, that was by design by Congress. They wanted to prevent inflation from causing automatic tax increases. And so a lot of the key features in the tax code, the tax brackets, the standard deduction, are tied to inflation. So every year, the IRS, by law, looks at what inflation has been and then adjusts those provisions accordingly. In most years, especially most recent years where inflation has been relatively low, it's a few hundred dollars here, a few thousand there. It's not really a big jump, a couple percentage points. This year, there are some meaningful adjustments, and that's because of the inflation we've seen in the economy.
Okay, and so how will these adjustments show up in someone's take-home pay? And do we know how much that increase might be?
Yeah, I don't have any great figures on how much, but it would show up in take-home pay in January. So in January, these changes all go into effect for tax year 2023. And so in January, that's when the withholding tables change, and paycheck withholding will adjust somewhat for this 7% increase in the standard deduction and where the brackets are. And thus, there'll be a corresponding change in how much taxes are taken out. So all else equal, your taxes would go down coming out of that paycheck. Now, it obviously will depend whether you're also getting a raise at that time, too. And so it's not a guarantee that your take-home pay will necessarily go up, but there will be an adjusted tax bite coming out of it.
So just to be clear, when will people have to think about accounting for these changes on their tax returns?
These changes are for tax year 2023, which is the returns that people will file in early 2024. So if you're paying estimated taxes over the course of 2023 every quarter, you'll have to pay attention to them then. But for a lot of wage earners in particular, you have this year's numbers, 2022 returns will be filed in early 2023. And then these new numbers will affect paychecks during 2023 and show up on returns in early 2024.
You know, Rich, you were here with us last year when inflation forced these types of changes, and a big factor was the standard deduction.
Yeah, the standard deduction is the amount that you can basically subtract from your income before you calculate your tax bill, and it's the amount that everyone can get. It doesn't matter whether you have a mortgage, whether you donate to charity, whether you pay state and local taxes, any of that. This is the standard deduction. It's jumping up about 7% for a married couple. That's going from $25,900 to $27,700. So that will shield more earnings from the income tax for, the 85-90% of people who are using that standard deduction.
So the standard deduction will go up by 7%. That sounds like a lot.
It is, but that's because inflation has been high. That number and a lot of the other numbers in the tax code are tied to inflation. So it's high relative to history because inflation has been high relative to history. And so the idea is to not have people have their taxes go up solely because of inflation.
Okay, so take-home pay and taxes will see changes. Any other areas of someone's personal finances that these adjustments will affect?
One is if you have a flexible spending account for healthcare, the maximum amount you can put away in that for next year will go up from $2,850 to $3,050. So you'll see it there. It also affects estate and gift taxes. So the estate tax per person exclusion, the amount that you can have in your estate and not pay any estate tax when you die, will go from a little over $12 million to a little under $13 million. So that's a big jump. And then the gift tax exclusion also changes. That's the amount that you can give annually to any other person without using any of that lifetime exemption. This year, 2022, it's $16,000. Next year, 2023, it jumps to $17,000.
But there are some areas of the tax laws that don't adjust to inflation, right?
Yes, and those are areas where in periods of higher inflation like we have now, people will experience what are effectively tax increases if they're benefiting from those frozen in time tax provisions. One is the $10,000 limit on the state and local tax deduction, something we've talked about before and people know very well. Well, that's $10,000 flat. So to the extent that your state taxes continue going up, you're getting less and less of a benefit. The child tax credit remains $2,000 maximum per child. $2,000 in 2023 is just not worth as much as $2,000 in 2018 or 2020 or 2022. And so the value of that tax break in real terms will erode. There are a couple other provisions that are not adjusted for inflation. One is the amount of capital losses that you can deduct against ordinary income. That's limited to $3,000. It's been that way since the late 1970s. You can, of course, still deduct capital losses against capital gains, and those aren't limited in the same way. But for a lot of people who have some money-losing investments but also have ordinary income, that $3,000 limit will pinch and pinch more. And then the other one to think about, too, is the sale of a personal residence. That's, you know, since the late 90s, the amount of capital gains that you can exclude from income when you sell your personal residence has been $250,000 for an individual and $500,000 for a married couple. And there are, of course, more and more houses that are now subject to that, that are over that because those have been frozen in time. That's somewhat countered, of course, by, you know, if the housing market starts turning because of high interest rates. But in general, those provisions that are fixed in nominal terms are going to cause more problems in periods like we're seeing right now.
But those areas can factor pretty significantly into somebody's finances. Why wouldn't they adjust also?
Well, sometimes it's intentional. So let's take another example that people have written me about, which is the thresholds where Social Security income benefits start becoming taxable. Those, you know, they're key numbers in there, about $32,000, $25,000, those have been intentionally frozen in place for 40 years, because what Congress did 40 years ago is say, hey, we want to make Social Security more solvent in the long run. And to do that, we'll just sort of freeze these in place. And over time, it will gradually generate more income taxes and Social Security benefits. So it was a very clear choice by Congress to go ahead and have something that at the time didn't affect quite as many people and gradually expands to affect people.
You know, Rich, some of these adjustments will come as a relief to middle-income and higher-income Americans. So let's talk about how other folks might be affected. How about people in lower-income groups?
So for lower-income people, there are some adjustments. The maximum amount of refundable child tax credit goes up to $1,600. The earned income tax credit maximums go up. The standard deductions are really important to lower-income people. And the tax brackets, too. So the bottom tax bracket, you know, how much income is taxed at 10% before some income is taxed at 12%, that all slides up 7% as well.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal tax reporter Richard Rubin. Rich, thanks very much for taking the time to be with us.
Anytime.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.